now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everything going out there this week? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all good over here. UGA won the national championship. Shouts out to them. Go Dawgs. Roof. All that good stuff. I'll get into it a little bit later and incorporate it with my bad, because I know last week I told y'all, that I thought Alabama was going to do what it takes to win. We'll get in it. I won't go through it right now, but trust me, we'll get in it. Also, this week, we'll talk about Kyrie Irving may have found a loophole on how he can play the home games. Yeah. We'll get into that also. And then, last but not least, I'm going to rank all of the coaching positions available in the NFL. We all know coaches were fired. I hate the term Black Monday because it seems so dark and so grim. These guys, they get jobs immediately after damn near. So there's really nothing black about it. Black insinuates that it's over for them, and it's not. They're just moving from one job to the next. But I'm going to rank all the current openings available. So, without any further ado, let's get into the conversation. It's time for...
Y'all right. You was right, I was wrong.
I told y'all. Y'all better believe it.
Yeah, man. Shouts out to the Georgia Bulldogs. They pulled it off. They slayed the dragon that is the Alabama Crimson Tide. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to tell you my bad. My bad, because I didn't think that the Georgia Bulldogs had the mentality, had the leadership, had the capabilities of going out there, rolling up their sleeves, and doing what it takes to get the job done. My bad. Georgia has had a history of, in those big moments, coming up short. So forgive me if I sat here and I told you that the track record has shown us that when the stage is this big, UGA tends to show up small. Forgive me for betting on that. But it appears it's a new day. Kirby Smart has seemed to have turned the ship, and that was the biggest stage ever, and that had to be one of the best performances that I've ever seen as they beat Alabama 33-18. And I went over and watched the game with a friend of mine. Me and my boy Greg, we watched the game, and we were chopping it up, and we were checking it out. And at halftime, even before that, history appeared to be on my side. Because Stetson Bennett got out there and it looked like he was the walk-on that they've been talking about. Those walk-on moments, it appeared that he didn't deserve to be on this stage, on this platform, in these moments with the rest of the Bulldogs. He made mistakes. He looked frustrated. And even throughout the game, like, I made the comment that when they put pressure on him, what he didn't do, what he did do was he rolled straight to the sideline. He rolled straight to the sideline, and then he tried to find a receiver, or he just chunked it out of bounds. And watching mobile quarterbacks, and that's what they tried to tell us that he is, a mobile quarterback. Watching mobile quarterbacks, if you watch a Kyler Murray, if you watch a Russell Wilson, if you watch Jalen Hurts, if you watch whoever, when you watch mobile quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, watch him when he rolls out. Once he kind of gets away and shakes loose from the defender, whether the defender falls or he just creates a little separation to where He can still look down the field. He's going to slow up, reset his feet, and keep his eyes down the field. And that wasn't what Stetson was doing. Stetson was panicking to the sideline, and then by the time he got to the sideline, then he realized, I gotta get rid of the ball because I can't go out of bounds with the ball in my hand like this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to find a receiver, and if I can try to hit him, I'm going to try to hit him. But if I see that he's covered or double covered, if somebody's over the top or underneath, I'm just going to put it in the vicinity so I'm not getting an intentional grounding call. Of which he wouldn't be getting anyway, because he's already at the damn sideline. He's out of the box. But when the time came, the coaching staff basically decided that Georgia was going to be the physical dominant football team. And that was on both sides of the football. And even Nick Saban told Kirby Smart at the end of the game, your team kicked our team's ass in that fourth quarter. And that fourth quarter showed what UGA has been all season long. And I tip my hat to them. I say congratulations. I celebrate, because I celebrate all things Georgia. I celebrate it. I would celebrate it whether it would be Georgia. I would celebrate it whether it would be Georgia Tech. I would celebrate it whether it be Georgia State or Georgia South. Well, maybe not Georgia State. So let me slow down, because that's my rival as a real GSU alum from Georgia Southern, from, you know, the great Statesboro. So maybe not Georgia State, but I mean, I'd salute them. Yeah, I salute him. I'd be a good sport. I ain't gonna be that guy, you know. Not all the time, anyway. But I celebrate all things Georgia, and I believe that this is leading a charge. You had the Atlanta United come across, and I think it was 2018 when they won their championship. You had the Braves, who just won just a few months back. They won their championship. The Hawks made a deep run in the NBA as they, you know, went to the Eastern Conference Finals. And then here you have UGA winning the national championship over Alabama, which made it more sweeter. So I tip my hat to UGA, tip my hat to the Bulldogs, Kirby Smart, and all of those guys. You did a phenomenal job, and no one can take this moment away from you. Congratulations. And we're going to start talking about who I'd like for the Falcons to kind of take away from this roster. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get into that in the weeks to come. I'm probably going to try to get my boy Jarvis Davis on. He's a Falcon insider. I'm going to get others on who may be draft insiders and draft experts. We'll talk about it. So I'll also say I kind of hedged my bet a little bit. That's what I, you know. Because what happens is, had Alabama won the game, then guess what? I'm coming on here telling you I told y'all. Right? I'm telling you I told you, because XYZ happened and UGA did or did not respond this way or that way or whatever. And I'm sitting here looking like I told y'all, looking like the end-all, be-all, like the know-it-all type dude. And if I was wrong, which I was, my bad, then guess what? We're celebrating UGA. I'm going to be out in Athens on Saturday for the parade. I'll be out there. I'll have me a little red and black on. I'll be there. But congratulations to the UGA Bulldogs. Salute to you. And hopefully, here's to many more to come.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, as I told you, UGA has won the game. They won the championship. And have you been to any of these websites to look for hats, to look for t-shirts, to look for hoodies, to look for sweatshirts? Any UGA swag? Have you seen some of the stuff that they put out there? Well, I have. And the stuff looks pretty basic. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to call my people over at 323 Custom Apparel. I'm going to tell them that they need to hook me up a little something for them dogs. Yeah, I might get it custom. I'm going to get it customized, dog. Like, you know what I'm thinking? and it's just me. Don't steal my swag now. It's just me. Have y'all seen the picture where it's like the bulldog? It looked like the Gunna album cover. Where's the bulldog? He got the dog. He got the chain. He got the shades. All that. I might rock with that and put a little something on it. Put a little sauce on it. Hey, if you steal it and I see it, I can't be mad. You know what I'm saying? I'm a trendsetter. What can I say? But I will say that you need to do like I'm going to do and talk to my good folks at 323 underscore custom underscore apparel and make your clothing your statement.
Commissioner Gordon.
I know we've talked about Kyrie Irving on here a number of times, but like I told you a long time ago, man, this dude is the gift that keeps on giving, you know? So I know we've talked about his vaccination situation where, and I salute him for this, like Kyrie chose to take a stand and everybody was scrutinizing him and basically calling him this idiot and all kind of names. And he stood his ground. He understood his consequences and he still held firm. Now, whether you believe his ideas or his beliefs are valid or not, that's something totally different. But he stood firm in what he believes, and even knowing the consequences, the Brooklyn Nets had kind of had this thing in the beginning where they were going to say, well, he could maybe play in the home games, meaning the away games, because he wasn't allowed to play in the home games. And what he did was he was like cool with that. He was cool. But then the general manager or whatever comes out, one of the front office guys comes out and says, no, that's not what we're going to do. You're either going to be a full-time or you're going to be full-time at home. You know, it's either get the shot or sit out. And he chose to sit out. And then around December 18th, somewhere, 19th, somewhere right before Christmas, they gave him a call. They had to bring him back because most of the squad was either hurt or, guess what, in COVID protocol. So they had to come back with egg on their face a little bit and say, hey, yeah, we know what we said earlier in the season, but if you're willing to be a part-time participant, we're glad to have you. And he was like, cool, you know what I'm saying, bet. And he came out, he went through his COVID protocol and everything like that. He came out, he's played a few games. But now, I'm seeing now on the New York Daily News that there may be a loophole in which Kyrie can play. Yes, Kyrie Irving may be able to play in Brooklyn. Yeah, it's just only one thing. He or the Nets, somebody might have to drop some bread. And when we look at it, it might not even be big bread. So I would assume that Brooklyn, Kyrie, someone makes this call immediately. Because Brooklyn, they're trying to win a championship. They're trying to establish a culture. They're trying to get the most out of this big three that they put together. And they're not getting the most out of the big three that they put together. So I'm sure they're willing to do what it takes. And now I'm sure all of you are like, man, Commish, what the hell is that you talking about Kyrie may be able to play home games? It's called Executive Order 225. And it's according to the New York Daily News, as I said earlier, but these are fines that are put into place for non-compliant citizens who don't want to follow the ordinance in New York. So these fines add up as you go along. So first offense is a warning. Second offense is $1,000. Third offense is $2,000. With the fourth offense and every other offense that happens after that, it's $5,000. Even if the fine was $5,000 off the rip, off the rip, let's just say, with these 20 games left, that ain't but 100 grand, dog. And if I'm Brooklyn, I don't know who's writing the checks, but if I'm Brooklyn, I'm telling Kyrie, you don't even put your hands in your pocket, bro. We got this. And I'm walking over to whatever office building, whatever city building that I need to go to, and I throw that money in the air like I was at the strip club. Yeah. And I might mess around and give them a little bit extra. Sorry for the inconvenience. Because we finna play some basketball, and it's time to turn up around here. Kyrie doesn't have to worry about anything. But what we're going to do is we finna get this situation turned around, and we finna try to get into the business of winning championships in Brooklyn. And the only way to do that is with your big three on the floor. And I sent out a message on Twitter one time, or I think it was on Facebook, and I asked, did Kyrie get over? And some of you smart asses took it upon yourself to say no, because he also had to go through COVID protocol like everybody else. And that wasn't what the hell I meant. So clearly, it went over your head. What I mean was, did Kyrie get over? Did Kyrie hold the rope, stand firm in his beliefs? Did he plant his flag and say, I'm not budging, only to have the league and the Brooklyn Nets come back damn near on knees, groveling, saying, but we need you? That's what I meant. Because guess what? There's a loophole here saying that he could probably play in Brooklyn. All you got to do is pay a cool 100 grand. And it ain't even 100 grand, because like I just said, it's 20 home games left. The first offense is a warning. The second offense is $1,000. The third offense is $2,000. And then it's five after that. So I'm not going to do the math, but you can. But it ain't even 100 grand. That's what I meant. Did he get over? He stood firm in what he believed in. And now, guess what? He still ain't vaccinated. And now he could be out here playing home and away. So when I say, did Kyrie get over, I'm talking about, did Kyrie get over?
Commissioner Gordon.
So you watched the national championship. Did you go out? Did you stay in? Most, if you like me, you stayed in, or you went to visit friends, a couple friends. You didn't go out. You didn't hit these crazy bars and all that. But before I went out, I went to my favorite liquor store. And I walked in and I went straight to the spot, that spot that I always go to. And they always know I go straight to it, because I used to ask, where is it now? But now I know where it is. So I go straight there, and boom, it was empty. And so I looked around. I looked on the bottom shelf. I looked on the top shelf. I looked on the little shelf beside it, because maybe they moved it over there. Maybe they moved it. You know what I'm saying? Like, So I looked and I asked the dude. I said, hey, man, where my Greenwood whiskey? He said, oh, man, we sold out. We gotta get the shipment to come back in. It's probably going to come in tomorrow. I said, man, y'all got to tighten up around this piece, because you know it's championship day. I want to celebrate with Greenwood whiskey. I want to pop the top on some Greenwood. He apologized to me, and, you know, he told me, he reassured me that they have it when to come in. And we went back and forth, and it was all in fun, because he knew I was just messing with him. But I did tell them that they need to get on their horse, man. They need to tighten up, and they need to get that Greenwood whiskey. And I said that to say, not only am I the one that's drinking Greenwood whiskey out in these streets, but the Greenwood whiskey brand is spreading. The news is spreading, and people are starting to see that this is a great product. And so anytime that you feel like you are celebrating, or you're in the mood to have a good time, drink responsibly and drink Greenwood whiskey, because Greenwood whiskey is celebration whiskey.
Commissioner Gordon.
Hey, the NFL playoffs are starting up this week. That means that the regular season has come to a conclusion. And that means it's been a lot of these head coaches that's had to go in and turn in their playbook and turn in their keys because they're no longer allowed inside of the building. I mean, most of the teams that we know of, you know, you already know. Like, we knew Joe Judge was probably going to be gone from the Lions. Like, we knew that. Like, we knew that was going to take place. We knew, you know, some of these things were going to happen. We knew that the Bears were going to let the coach go. We knew that. You know what I'm saying? But there was even one that we didn't know in Brian Flores that we didn't know because it seemed like Flores had the team going on track. It seemed like he had them going in the right direction. He was putting together pieces. And it begs to the question of, well, maybe there was a rift between him and the general manager. Maybe there was a difference in philosophies on what they wanted to do or who they wanted to retain. Tua. So, you know, maybe there's something there. But with these openings, there are currently six. As of right now, there are currently six job openings in the NFL. And I'm going to say that with a little wiggle because there may be seven because we have no idea of what's going to go on in Las Vegas with the Raiders. They fired Gruden earlier. They had to. The emails, all that scandal came out. And they have an interim coach as of right now. And he seems to be doing a fairly good job. I believe he was a special teams coordinator before he was the head coach, before he's the interim head coach. But he seems to be doing a great job in the midst of all that chaos, in the midst of all that toxicity. He's got these guys in the playoffs and they're looking well. The Raiders have had some injuries they had to overcome and all of that stuff. And he's doing pretty damn good and the team's doing pretty damn good. But there still may be a change at the end of the season. You know how some franchises are like, hey, that's all well and good. Pat on the back. But we're going to go in a whole different direction, champ. Yeah. So we're going to see how that plays out. But for right now, the six that we know of, whether it's Miami, whether it's Chicago, Denver, Minnesota, Jacksonville, and the Giants, of course, we're going to rank them. Well, I'm going to rank them because in my mind, I'm going to tell you how I feel which of these teams is the better gig. You know, everybody's always talking about, oh, I wouldn't take that job. I wouldn't take this job. Well, in the NFL, man, it's only 32 of these jobs. So when you get your chance, if you believe that you're a good head coach and you get your shot, you believe that you can turn around any franchise. You believe that if you're giving enough power, if you're giving enough time, if you're giving enough wiggle room and say so, that you can turn around any organization. Because why wouldn't you be in the business of coaching if you don't believe that you are a substantial leader and that you can will and lead men into a winning franchise, into a playoff situation, into a Super Bowl contending situation, and into a championship situation. This is what you get into the business for. Yes, if you just like shaping and molding young men and doing all those things, well, then the high school and college game, and, you know, that's for you. If you just like being, you know, a good role model for young males, that's fine. Nothing wrong with it. But once you get to the NFL, you're in it to win it. You're in it because, A, great pay, and B, you want to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. And you believe that if you are giving enough resources that you can lead a team to raise such trophy. So, let's get into it and let's see who I believe has the best job. Number six, the New York Football Giants. The Giants don't have a GM. The Giants don't have hardly any cap space to pick up anybody. And they're going to wound up having to make a decision on Daniel Jones. Like, where is he in his development? Do you want to cut bait now Or do you want to try to continue to work with the young man and see if any improvement comes? The Giants have two top 10 picks. They got a number 5 and a number 7. So that's a positive if you're a coach coming in and you want to make an impact. Well, no other impact than you get two top 10 picks, which should be two starters, two impact players. And so that's where you put your fingerprint on this team. That's going to be it. And the rest of the draft, I'm sure you're going to get with the GM, whoever the GM is going to be, and you're going to set in motion what the Giants are going to look like for the future coming up. Because with these two picks, let's say you get an offensive tackle, that would bode well for Saquon Barkley, of which, yes, you have to figure out what you're going to do with him. Are you going to trade him off to try to get other assets? Are you going to stick it out? The young man keeps getting hurt. So I have the Giants as my number 6 job opening. My number 5 job opening is the Miami Dolphins. Now, don't get me wrong. The Dolphins got a lot of positives. A lot of positives. I like Jalen Waddle. I like Mike Gesicki. I don't like Tua. I mean, I haven't made any secret about that. I don't like Tua. And the rumors are still kind of out there. They're still floating around that Miami is secretly still interested in Deshaun Watson. And that's an interesting story to me, too, because it makes me wonder who the hell likes Tua. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think Flores liked Tua. Maybe they fired Flores because he wanted to stick it out with Tua. I thought they were firing Flores because he wanted to get rid of Tua and bring somebody else in. And because a lot of the stuff that I'd been hearing was that the ownership is liking Tua. And if you have a coach that don't like him, well, we got to get rid of that coach. But then on the flip side, like I said, we keep hearing that Miami is a destination that Deshaun Watson may find himself in. But going back to the Dolphins in this job, they have a nice salary cap situation going on. They're somewhere around $75 million. They can put some guys in place. And, I mean, for what it's worth, they draft 22nd in this year's draft, in the first round of this year's draft. So, number 5, I have the Miami Dolphins. Number 4, the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jacksonville Jaguars can be a good spot, man. I mean, the owner seems patient. The owner seems like he wants to win. The owner seems like had things not escalated so crazy for Urban Meyer, Urban Meyer would still be there. I mean, unless he chose to not be there. You know, a lot of the stuff just got to be too much. It was just everything stacked on top of each other to where the owner had to say, all right, damn, that's enough. You know, that's enough. We gotta do something. Something has to change. So Jacksonville has like somewhere around $72 million in cap space. And they got the number 1 draft pick again. And guess what? They seem to have their quarterback of the future in Trevor Lawrence. So you don't have to reach for one of these quarterbacks. The downside is, you mean, you got to clean up all Urban Meyer's mess. So you have to go in there, whether it's coaches, you know, because he talked down to coaches. He talked down to players. He talked down to all of these guys. And he did a lot of things that should not take place in a professional locker room. That should not take place on a professional team. And now you have to go in and you got to grab the Windex or the Shout or whatever it is. And you got to clean it up. And you got to get this situation tightened up to where you have a respectable franchise. So for that cleanup job, I have Jacksonville at number 4. At number 3, I have the Minnesota Vikings. And the Minnesota Vikings job is a pretty decent job to me because Minnesota has pieces to win right now. Kirk Cousins is an above average QB. Like, he's not terrible. He's not the best, but he's not terrible. He's above average. And Dalvin Cook is a beast of a running back. I love Justin Jefferson. Adam Thielen is a beast still. He still has it in the tank. But the Minnesota Vikings only have around $14 million in cap space. They have the number 12 pick in this year's draft. So they could get a pretty good player coming up no matter what they need. And I like this pick. I like this team or this destination because partly because it's in the NFC North. Like, you have the Bears, who are still kind of struggling. You got the Lions, who are the Lions. And then you got Green Bay. And Green Bay, everybody said, well, shit, you got to go to Green Bay. Green Bay may be on the verge of changes. There's a lot of stuff going on with Aaron Rodgers. There's a lot of comments being made. There's a lot of speculation going out there. There's a bunch of rumors going out there. He's not doing himself any favors by some of the stuff that he's saying in the media. There's a lot of things going on that leads me to believe that something is going to shake up in Green Bay. So you are going to be in a decent spot to where if you can go out there, at the worst, you're a wild card pick. You're a wild card and you're sliding in. If nothing happens and Green Bay stays the course, you're a wild card. You can win now. If you get in Eric Bieniemy, like I said, you got Adam Thielen, you got Justin Jefferson, you got weapons and Cook. I think it was KJ Thornton, I think his name is. Young receiver. You got a bunch of pieces that you can bring in and you can win today. Number two, the Denver Broncos, because once again, this is another team with the ability to win now. You got $48 million under the cap. You got a lot of room to play with. You have 7 picks in the NFL draft coming up. Looks like you're going to be picking number 9 in the draft. So you can get somebody to come in and play. The one thing I don't understand and they're going to have to address is their quarterback situation. Are they going to, you know, try to keep fooling around with Teddy Two Gloves? Are they going to, you know, keep old Drew Lock over on the sideline and try to keep him as the backup? Are they content? I mean, firing your coach and doing all that with what you had going on doesn't show me that you're content. So I'm assuming that they may be a player in terms of the quarterbacks going on and coming up in this year's draft, whether it's first round, second round, or whenever. And they're going to have to make a move because, like I said, they can win now, but it's a little tough out there in the AFC West, man. They're playing against the Raiders, who I just told you, amongst all kind of chaos, they still found a way to come out and win. And win and get into the playoffs. The Los Angeles Chargers is a team that looks like that believes that they should have been in the playoffs. One time out away from being in the playoffs. And they're going to be a playoff contender for a long time. They got young weapons. They got a young quarterback. And then you got the Kansas City Chiefs who they're the Chiefs. So you know they're going to be there. You know they have championship aspirations every year. The only thing that you could hope for is that some of these other teams, if not Denver, can pick away some of their coaches and maybe take a little of that steam away from the Chiefs. At number one, I have the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears, once again, is a total reset. Like most of these jobs, some of these jobs have GMs in place already, but the Bears do not. The Bears will be coming in as a total reset with a new GM and a new head coach. They have their quarterback of the future in Justin Fields. Justin Fields is, much like Trevor Lawrence, appears to have a very huge upside. We talked about that with Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence, your QB is already in place. So now, whatever you do in this draft, you have to protect him. All you have to do is protect him and put pieces around him, put weapons around him, and they got decent weapons already. I love Allen Robinson. But the problem here, like I said, they got $40 million in cap space, but they have no first-round draft pick. Yeah, they got rid of the pick so that they can get Justin Fields. You know what I'm saying? So that's the downside. But if you're on your game and you're looking around and you're doing your thing, then you can pick, you can make some good picks in the later rounds, in the second or third round. You got a good defense in place already. Like I said, you can win immediately in the NFC North. I just told you about what I thought about some changes being made in Green Bay. I just told you about the Lions being the damn Lions. We just talked about Minnesota. They're going through the same things that you're going through. So to me, the Chicago Bears have probably the highest ceiling along to go along with the best foundation. So that's why I have the Chicago Bears as the best landing spot for an up-and-coming coach. Maybe next week we'll begin to talk about the coaching favorites. Maybe not, because it seems like a lot of these coaches, and I get frustrated all the time when we start talking these coaches. And guess what? These coaches that we believe, that I believe, that you believe should be getting jobs, don't get jobs. And a bunch of retreads wind up picking up these jobs. And they look like how we thought they would look, because we've seen this before. So hopefully guys like Byron Leftwich, hopefully Eric Bieniemy, Leslie, all these guys, hopefully some of these guys will get honest, solid looks and will actually be rewarded the job.
Commissioner Gordon.
And that's going to do it for this week's Commissioner's Conversation. I appreciate you. I salute you. I love you. And I say this every week. I'm glad that you tune in. Tell a friend. Follow me on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. Follow me on Twitter at grobinsonsports. Follow me on TikTok at thecommissionergordon. And we'll have fun. We'll engage. We'll talk sports. We'll talk trash. We'll talk pop culture, all pretty much everything. And we'll have a good time. We keep it respectful and we keep it fun. Thank you for tuning in again. Thank you, DJ Reese Boogie, for keeping everything nice, tight, and right out here in these streets. And until next week, I'll holla.
Okay, bye.